Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." May he teach us from his word this morning. Actually, that last verse wasn't one I was particularly going to highlight this morning, but as I've looked at that again this morning, I do think that that's probably something that we need to emphasize. That's the promise of God to you on this day when he pours out his very self upon ordinary people, on this day when he makes the ordinary unordinary. This is the promise for you and me and for everybody who does not yet know it, that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That doesn't mean the people that look like they belong, the people who do the right thing, the people who dress right, behave right, do everything the way that it's expected to be done. Everyone, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I'm glad about that promise because it includes me, because otherwise I don't belong either. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I want to encourage you to remember that for yourself and for those that you have contact with in these next few days and weeks. When you find yourself in difficult situations, when you find yourself with people who are difficult, that simple challenge that no matter how difficult it might be, no matter how messy it might be, no matter how complicated, no matter the situations that we struggle to pray about, and that's the Holy Spirit's work as well, because he prays for us. In all those situations, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, the totality of our lives. So, a couple of things from this well-known passage that you've heard preached on hundreds of times, if not more. A couple of things to draw out of this. First thing is, that strikes me, they were all together. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. They, that was the believers, and they were being obedient to what Jesus had told them. In Acts chapter 1, which is where Luke tells about the ascension, and last Sunday was Ascension Sunday, and because the Salvation Army deemed it to be Red Shield Sunday, we kind of missed it. Ascension Sunday is really important. It's the joining together of heaven and earth. It's the promise and reminder that humanity belongs in close communion with God, yours and mine. And in that moment, Jesus tells his disciples, "Don't leave Jerusalem, but wait here, and you will be clothed with power. The Holy Spirit, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Now, as disciples do in that situation, they ask a bunch of irrelevant questions. Because we do that, don't we? When someone's going to ask something of us, we like to kind of deflect a bit and maybe make it about someone else. I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit, says Jesus to a disciple. And the disciple says, well, what about the nation? You're going to fix that too. Disciples miss the point all the time. I'm glad about that, because so do I. I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit, says Jesus. And the disciples say, well, you're going to fix the nation too. And of course he is, but he's going to fix the nation through baptized disciples. We look at our news, as we have done even this morning, with horror and bewilderment. And we find ourselves praying with the psalmist, how long? How long, O Lord, will you go? Will this carry on? But throughout human history, God has turned the ordinary into the unordinary through disciples, empowered, equipped, and sent out by him. There seems sometimes very little difference you and I can make in the world, but you can make a difference to someone. And so can I. And you have a count up of us this morning. I think what difference we could make as a community. Here they were then. They were all together because Jesus had told them to be all together. He told them they would receive power. They may not have understood what he was talking about. Although maybe they did, because they did know their Old Testament, some of them. And they did know that throughout the Old Testament, as we looked this morning, God's Spirit was involved. God gave his Spirit to specific people for specific tasks, for a specific time. And that had happened right away through their history. So they knew something about the work of God's Spirit. They knew the story of the judges who were given God's Spirit for a short time to fix a particular problem. They knew about the prophets. They knew their story. So they probably didn't understand it in its fullness. But they were there, and they were united in prayer and worship, united in common purpose. They were all together. I think that's important. They weren't just all together physically. They were all together, united in common purpose. If we want to see signs and wonders by God in our midst, if we want to see God fix things and move powerfully, well, first of all, let's acknowledge that he's already doing that. We see that. We've just heard about some of that. But it is about us all being together, united in purpose, united in worship, and focused ultimately on glorifying God. That's the key. They were together, and the Holy Spirit was poured out freely on them. A unifying act, common experience and common belief united these people, but it overflowed to all the other people there as well, the people from the nations who could now hear the works of God declared in their own language. A long, long time ago, in Genesis chapter 11, we read this story, right back in the beginning of creation. Genesis 11. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as they migrated from the east, they came upon a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, come, let's make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, let's build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let's make a name for ourselves. And the Lord came to see the city and the tower. And the Lord said, look, they are one people, and they all have one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. Nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. So let's confuse their language, so they will not understand each other's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city, and therefore it was called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of all the earth. An ancient story, but this is the moment of Babel reversal. This is the moment where God's Spirit comes and unites all these disparate people, all these people who now hear the works of God declared in their own language. Where before God had to scatter them and give them languages they didn't understand each other, because they were focused in that ancient story on making a name for themselves. Come, let's do this. Let's do something great. Let's make a name for ourselves. And God says, this is just the beginning of what they will do. But now through his grace and his mercy, now his Holy Spirit's come and the great Babel reversal is underway. Now people can understand each other, not because they want to make a name for themselves, but because they will call upon the name of Jesus and they will be saved, and they will be about his glory and making Jesus' name known. And when we're about that, then God also says, now there is no end to what they will do. When we orientate ourselves around his glory, when we're not about making a name for ourselves, when we're about him, we can be all together, gathered all together, united in purpose, united in worship, united in desire that he be glorified. And so God gave them the gift of the Spirit and filled them and united them and empowered them, and other people were drawn into that story because now we hear the wonders of God declared in our own language. All of them gathered together, and all of them filled with the Holy Spirit. All of them. No one missed out. The gift wasn't reserved for special people. It wasn't just given to those who were good enough or who'd earned it or who had enough church points or had done enough Red Shield doors or whatever it might be. It was poured out lavishly on everybody. No one missed out. They joined together constantly in prayer, and because they did that, they brought who they were, and they were honest about who they were and real about who they were. And some of these disciples had some very public failures, yet still they came in obedience to Jesus' command not to leave, but to gather, to be united. And because they're about his glory, not their own, no one missed out. And everyone was equipped and empowered to declare the wonders of God. If we want to see God do amazing things with the ordinary people that we are, it seems to me that that's part of the key. Being real, honest about our failures, but united in prayer, worship, gathering together, willing to participate in the life of our community. There are times when too many of us want what we want, but aren't prepared to participate. Well, that desire to participate comes from an openness to the Holy Spirit's leading in the first place. So they were all together. They were all filled. And then Peter stood up. And we're told, if you read the end of chapter 2, there must have been about 3,000 people there. And here God takes the ordinary to make the unordinary, because here's Peter, fisherman by trade, no great scholar. If he'd been a great scholar, he wouldn't have been in the fishing business. He would have been learning to be a rabbi. He didn't make the cut. He was sent back to work in the family business. Good at it. But addressing 3,000 people would not have been on the first century fishing Cert 3 curriculum. And here he is, emboldened, empowered, and equipped. And not only does he speak to that crowd and explain what's happening, but he takes the ancient scriptures and the prophecies of Joel, and he understands their fulfillment, and he explains that to the crowd as well. And let me tell you, fishermen didn't do that very often either. And only because God spoke through him were 3,000 people added to their number that day. And God spoke through him because he brought his ordinariness. And God's Holy Spirit turned his ordinariness into the unordinary, into the extraordinary. We've watched Cameron's story in recent weeks, we've listened to Lee's story today. Ordinary men. Now, having encountered Jesus, doing extraordinary things, and they won't think so, but you and I know they are. And there are more like them. And we are them too. We haven't got the same backgrounds. We're all individual. We're all unique. But let me, if anyone's not sure about this, let me remind you, you are ordinary. You are ordinary. And so am I. There is nothing special about any of us except what the grace and the mercy of God and the empowering of His Holy Spirit does for us. And that's what makes the difference, and that's what makes the ordinary the unordinary. And when we submit ourselves to that kind of transformation, then other people get drawn into that story too. So let me encourage you this week, and I encourage myself in our ordinariness, let God speak through it. Let Him do amazing things with our submission and our willingness to be used. And may because of our simple, ordinary witness, may there be people that say, now I hear the wonders of God declared in a way I can understand it. And then that promise comes true for more people, that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Lord bless you.